Hello, everyone, and welcome. We are here for our NEPT Foundation's kind of content and curriculum Q&A discussion call. So we added these calls probably beginning of this year because a lot of people would say, well, we have questions not so much about clients and not so much about the application of this necessarily, but about the content, you know, about the particular modules that we're on or clarification of that or anything at all related to what you're learning. And so we decided to add these calls. So these calls, I'm not developing or giving new content. We usually do those on Thursday calls, and we have those like two or three times a month where we actually develop and deliver new content, which then gets recorded and put in the back end. But these are more just in general for discussion of what's going on for you and where your studies are and what you need clarification on, or even just having, you know, hypothetical discussions and theoretical discussions. So the way they work is you raise your hand with a 2 on your keypad, telephone keypad, that raises your hand. I see you, and then we answer questions. And I wanted to check to see, I guess I'll get the join me going. I don't see any hands up, so while I'm getting the join me up and running, I just wanted to say that we're actually looking at Zoom, and I'm going to be trying it out this weekend to see how that works, because I think that we might be able to do that for some of our calls, and it's just a really neat platform that has the chat, and it has chat, and it has the option for seeing each other on video, for sharing, for screen share, etc. So we may switch to that, we may not, but I've really liked it the last few times I've been on calls using that. So if you have any experiences with it and want to let us know what you think, go for it. So you should be seeing the chat. I see Melody and Viewer 1. If you're on the chat and you're not Melody or me, go ahead and put your little cursor over Viewer 1 or over something and change your name instead of it saying, it might just say me, but it may say Viewer 1 and change your name. So that's it. I will see if we have to open up this internet thing, because people who are not on, let's see, if I have this use the USB, I'm going to have this. Let's see, I use the Yeti microphone on this one, and then I use, as speakers, I use that. I'm going to call in.
The conference will begin when the next party joins.
Okay, so if anybody has trouble with calling in on the phone or on the little Maestro web phone, which some people have trouble with if they don't actually have Chrome, I think somebody figured it out on Safari last time, then they can do it that way. So we have a hand up from Melody. Hi, Melody.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am kind of reeling right now. First of all, just thank you again for all the information. It's actually very well presented, and I have really been enjoying it. You know, I'm in the micronutrients part, so I'm at the beginning.
You'll be there in a long time, girl. That's a long module.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm really kind of concerned about the exam because I'm at the tail end, but this is like, you know, 2 or 3 months of study, and it's like, oh my goodness, on the exam, it's kind of nervous. But I was kind of wondering with that, is, am I correct in thinking that the OATS tests will test all the macro and micro nutrients?
I wish. No. I wish it did. There's no one test that will test all the macro and micronutrients. I've combined the OAT test with an amino acid test with a fatty acid test, and that gets your macros, but then it doesn't really look at carbs that well in terms of carb handling, and then you add hemoglobin A1C and fasting insulin to get carbs. So it's really, there's no one test that would give you the full picture. The cool part about OAT, and we have a whole module on OAT, which we'll get to eventually, but the OAT module will go into all the details of it. But what I really like about OAT is it's basically intermediate byproducts is the way it builds up. So it's basically looking at metabolic pathways, and it's looking at some of those chemicals, those organic acids that should not build up, and they do build up, usually meaning that a downstream pathway is blocked or an upstream pathway is overactive. And so it gives us a lot of information as opposed to just saying, what's your serum vitamin B12 level? No, let's look at the upstream, downstream metabolites and see if there's a problem that adding vitamin B12 could affect. So the OAT test looks at mitochondrial function. It looks at gut function, but not directly like looking at gut bugs, but it looks at specific chemicals that are produced by overactive gut bugs. And it allows us to say, oh, we have some issues going on. Because sometimes the tests like the stool test, you know, in the culturing, things happen in transport, the organisms die, they were there, but they're not anymore. So these give us like, whoa, maybe we don't see the actual bug there, but we do see the metabolic endotoxins that bug produced. And so it does that, and it does neurotransmitter pathways as well. So you can get a sense of whether a person is low or high on dopamine or serotonin or GABA, and I like that actually better than the actual straight neurotransmitter testing. But we'll go through all of that when we do our testing modules. What I really feel is important, and that's why, you know, the foundational pieces is just take as long as you need to get through the foundational pieces, because the labs and all the other pieces are going to build on that. Now, that all said, you're going to hear a lot of talk about labs on a lot of the case study calls and the Q&A calls, and that's fine, because what's happening is you're learning the foundations, you're getting exposed to all these labs, you're seeing them and maybe feeling overwhelmed, and you will for the first, you know, half a dozen to a dozen that you see, but it just starts coming together. And then when we actually do the modules on it, it'll be like, ah, I can pass this test, no problem.
Right. I went ahead and got my genetic testing done a couple weeks ago, and so I took your recommendations and went through the Stratagene and also with the Sterling report and Genetic Genie. I did all three of them, so I'm slowly picking through that and just learning, and it's fascinating. It's awesome. Boy, we could just take that, and that's a whole thing in itself.
But I was a long program. Yep.
Yeah, but I was just listening to Sterling Hill. She was on the Medical Supplement Summit. And it's just incredible because it's dealing with these nutrients that, you know, I'm in the middle of studying now. And it's crucial because it's like, it just changes the whole game, you know. That's why I'm kind of reeling. It's good, and when you say these things, it's like, we really need this, which comes back to something that I've practiced for a long time in my practice, is getting back to foods, getting back to a good base.
Exactly, exactly. You know, if you listen to Ben Lynch at all, he's very refreshing to listen to, because a lot of people in the functional medicine realm will get into the this for that approach. Like, oh, you have these symptoms, these nutrients help, or these herbs help, or whatever. And he's like, do not make that mistake in looking at genes and saying, this gene means you need this nutrient. Do not try to do that, because you have to start with the basics. And you can turn off the epigenetic expression by having the right diet. And I'm living proof of that. Man, my genes are really messed up. But I made a decision long before the Genome Project that I probably have really bad genes, since there's no old people in my family and they all get obese and get heart disease and die. So I'm going to just pretend that I know that I have really bad genes, and I'm not going to do anything to stress them out. And when you look at my genes and you look at the health that I'm experiencing, they don't seem to match up. Right? So right. I think that there's a lot to be said for that, so which is why I always get you to like go back to the foundations. And one of the things I'm toying with, and I'm probably going to put into practice in EPT in a few months, is to have a pre-module that basically says, I want you to go through and just ingest every bit of the foundations module from ERC, which you all have access to, but to like actually guide you through taking the steps there. And a lot of it you probably know, but there's the finer points of going through it and the action of taking your client through those foundational steps. Doesn't mean you can't give them band-aids for their particular symptoms to give them some relief. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you want to be, super duper careful that you don't go into the this for that and the let's just put on a whole bunch of supplements.
Right. Well, as Stuart Hill was saying, especially when you have the COMT gene or the APOE2 or the APOE4, You actually should not high dose with any of the methylfolate or never with a methyl B12.
Right.
So that would be the hydroxy B12 or, you know, or something instead, because they don't have the methylization pathways, which was an eye-opener.
It is an eye-opener. And I'm going to just add to that, you can't shy away. A lot of people are then shying away and becoming scared of methyl groups, and we need that, those methylation groups. So my take on that is, if I've got somebody who has those, I will start them on a hydroxy B12. I will start them with food forms of all the folates, because that's easy to get in food. But I will then get the, like, the liposomal drops that Seeking Health has. And if you just take, like, the drop, the dose is 40 drops or something. I have people take one drop. Sometimes I have them take one drop every other day. You see?
Okay. Yeah.
So what that does is that I get them up to their tolerance, and I give them like a list of what to watch out for.
Right.
So it's a lot of it's anxiety and agitation and all that, violence and irritability, because of the buildup of the, or the lack of breakdown of some of those neurotransmitter metabolites. So I just have them go tiny bit. But I've had situations, I took one person, she had been doing B12 for years and all kinds of neurologic symptoms, and she was up to 5 grams a day, and she was doing patches, she was doing oral, methylated. And I said, I looked at her genes when we got her genes back, and I said, I want you off all of that. Let's just see how you feel good on the hydroxy. 24 hours, and she was a new person.
Wow. So if someone, I have a patient that she's actually pregnant, and she's in her third trimester, and she's looking like, anyway, I ordered from Norman Labs the methylmalonic acid test.
Right.
So if someone needs that, like even if they need the intramuscular, is that a hydroxy?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know that. So all of a sudden it just opens up, I need to know more about what, you know, they need to pursue.
Yeah, that's a good question, because if they do need the B12, you know, I'm a little nervous about giving it to them intramuscularly at that point if they've got the methylation, you know, the pathways that show that they have to be careful with methylation groups. You don't want to give them cyano, which is what typically is given intramuscularly. I would definitely don't want to do that. It's harder to find docs that will do methyl. It's probably even harder still to find docs that will do intramuscular hydroxy or adenosyl. Mm-hmm. So that's why getting the drop. I heard that Amy Yasko used to have them and doesn't have the adenosyl in drops, but that adenosyl can be amazing for people with the, when the MMA is coming.
Okay, yeah, because that's the other form of the adenosyl, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm just kind of reeling from that, because it's just like, it wasn't a this for that, it was more of, you have to beware, because if they have these SNPs, and so I've been for the last 2 weeks going through these SNPs, and you know, it's something that we don't know, and people don't know, because how many people are getting the genetic testing, which I think is wonderful that you're doing this. It's that, I think we're on the cutting edge, and I'm so pleased to be along with it with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I am too. I'm glad to be doing this. And the thing I want to just be aware of is, yes, a lot of people are just going to their doctor who's learning and reading about this MTHFR thing, and they run this, the SpectraCell, or they run the Quest or whatever lab test for it, and they just get those two markers. And then they'll go, oh, let's get you on high dose. And I've seen, I have actually seen 15 milligram versions of those supplements. There's a company that does them. Like,
oh my God,
that's scary.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've got to be careful. That person may be on these high levels of supplements, and they're just, their doctor doesn't connect that they're cranky and irritable and feeling suicidal and homicidal.
Well, it's like giving them meth. It's like giving them a methamphetamine.
Exactly. And they're all and they don't relate it.
Yeah.
Right? So you be careful about that. But on the other hand, if I don't have their full genetic profile and they say, oh, I have the MTHFR gene, I'm on these high levels, I'm usually backing them off, especially if they have any of those symptoms. But even if they don't have those symptoms and they say, hey, I have this, should I take this? I usually start them with, since I don't know, I start them with something simple. I start them with like the liposomal, because people can take, it's really dose dependent. It's very rare that people can't take any. And what you want to always find is that perfect balance and titrating it up. And I love doing that thing, and it drives people crazy because I have them get a whole bunch of different bottles of stuff and start with one drop of each. And it's like, come on, like this is going to take forever. But on the other hand, if you can get them to the minimum effective dose,
right,
that's what's going to be the best, because then you're not risking a whole bunch of other stuff. And I don't know if you listened to it, but on one of our calls with in the Advanced Clinical Resources with Dr. Rosensweet, he talked about doing that with hormones. And it was really refreshing to see an MD that's doing that kind of thing with hormones. Like, let the patient figure out what their dose is. And that's how I want to go. I want to get the doses. And I think it's from you. I'm assuming it's from you. But anyway, but that's the story. So all of, there's so much to it. You just want to go, first do no harm, and it always comes out. But you don't want the risk not being effective. So that's where I think just there's no set dosage. So it's just starting with the smallest amount and working up.
Okay, one other thing. She had said that if someone has the G6PD enzyme deficiency, that they would do better with a food source vitamin C instead of ascorbic acid. And I know that in several of the calls and talks and just going through it, you have talked about the buffered ascorbic acid.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's, again, you just see how people do. Like, will you look to see what are, there are people who say, look, I felt worse on vitamin C. Or if I try to do mega doses, or if I do a vitamin C flush, I feel worse. You know, the clinical symptoms are your best indication of what the person needs. So food forms are great. You can't always get them up there for, up high enough for acute situations. But I like, you know, the rose hips and the amla and all kinds of other things like that that are natural forms. I also, and that's generally what I would take for myself if I'm taking a C, but if I feel like I've got a cold coming on, or I feel like I need to, you know, get rid of something acute, I just go right to high levels of that. So you just have to get feedback from people and see how they felt. Have you ever felt bad when you took vitamin C?
Right, no. The other thing is, she talks a lot, will we cover, or do you cover, go into along with all this, because you're talking about when, as we go through this, all the different pathways. She said it's important before you start even dealing with the MTHFR to begin healing the sulfation pathways.
There's mixed feelings about that in the methylation, you know, nutrigenomics community. That was really pushed very hard by Amy Yasko.
Okay.
She said you had to do the CBSs first. And so I started out that way, and I started doing this in 2008 or so. I started doing that. And what I found was, let me just put you on mute for a second and see if it's you. Give me a second. Okay. Yeah, I'll open you up when I'm finished saying this, because it's just driving me crazy having the feedback coming back. And it may be that your mic is too close to your speaker or something like that. But what I used to do that, and I said, okay, yes, let's go to the CBS. And what I found was all the indications that she had for people having over active CBSs and doing the sulfation was that it just didn't pan out. And so I think you have to just treat each person individually. You have to look at what some of their SNPs are, and you play it by ear. But I think all of this stuff's going to get better with basics. So, but you've always got those people who come in and they're doing all the basics, right? Those are those tough complex cases that I'm always talking about. And those are the people that they're already doing all the basics, and then you start digging and you go, okay, what do their SNPs look like in the sulfation? Are they over, you know, if you take too many, if you take too much NAC, for example, which a lot of people are taking huge amounts of, and you've got a block in some of the glutathione generating enzymes, then you're going to get a buildup that sulfur has to go somewhere, and it goes down and increases sulfates and sulfites, which can cause problems that, you know, people get with that. Does that answer that? So again, it's very individual.
Yes. You're a breath of fresh air.
Thank you. You know, I'm really anti-dogma.
Yeah, and you have to really be careful because, you know, you're trying to learn and so you're listening. And some people, it's just so dark. And it's like, okay, I understand the seriousness of this, but come on, give me a ray of hope here.
Yes, and the ray of hope is the ray of hope. I mean, what you just said, right? The hope is the hope. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but the hope is the fact that you have hope. So I'm always lifting people up. Oh, wow, this is really a mess. That's great. It gives us some stuff to do on. Let's just get working on it. We got good stuff to go on. Yeah. At least we found a reason, right? Somebody said that the other day, oh, it's so depressing. I have all these red things. And I said, wow, it's really cool that you have all these things. Because if you were feeling like crap, doing all these great things, and we don't even see anything on the labs, like, then where do we go? But it's good that we see things because these are things that we can work with. And so you have to always turn it around so people see that silver lining in the positive because that's part of their healing. Anybody that does any kind of energy healing or intuitive kind of stuff knows that. And a lot of people take it like, well, there's either there's the science camp of healing and then there's the woo-woo camp of healing. And I just think it's all science because the woo-woo, the stuff that people think is woo-woo is really science. How the heck do you think we're talking to each other right now? Are we talking through wires that are connecting you to me? Are we talking through packets of energy that are being transmitted through the ethers so we can communicate? Why wouldn't we have the same packets of energy being transmitted through our body that are unseen, that we can't actually physically touch, but that are being affected by how we think, how we breathe, whether we watch the news or skip it, you know, how engaged we get in the gloom doom theories that surround us. Like, Lord, I don't care if the world ends tomorrow. I want to be happy today.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, right? So why get upset about things you can't control? Yeah, maybe we are going down a financial ruin. Maybe whoever becomes president in the fall is going to be like, you know, totally turn us around. But screw it. I'm not worrying about it now. I'll worry about it if it happens, and I'll do my best to prevent it from happening and do whatever steps I can take. But I'm not allowing what might happen in the future to impact my mood today and to impact my physiology and my health today. Because if my mood gets affected, my health gets affected, not only am I affecting me, I'm affecting my family, I'm affecting all of you guys because I'm going to let you down and not be able to do the work I do and all the potential people I can help. So hope is the ray of hope is the ray of hope. Always having hope, always being positive, like you can do this. We can figure this out. We can figure it out together. And don't let people get caught up in the gloom doom theories out there because it's not productive at all.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I get on soapboxes really easily these days. I don't know what's happening, but it's really easy to put me up on a soapbox and have me. But I'm passionate about this because there's so many people just getting into the worry. You know, oh, my God, look, what am I going to do? Now they have sulfation things and they have methylation and they have COM-T. You're doomed. No, you know, might as well hang it up now. No, what can we do with it?
That's good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah. You're very welcome. Okay. That was a long answer to a short question, which is something I'm good at. Anybody else? Chat just joined us. Nice. Laura just joined us. I saw Susan and Lynn and Valerie and Tony. All of you guys. Great. Nice small call. So any questions, comments about what we just discussed, insights from your own clinical experience. This call is about content of any of the modules we've covered so far. We were talking with Melody. We started out talking about micronutrients and then went into nutrigenomics and all that. But there's, because it relates to micronutrients, right? All those vitamins and minerals that support and or deplete those methylation pathways. So anything at all anybody wants to share or anybody wants to ask? No? Are we going to have a nice short call today? So I can prepare for my program. We're doing I don't know if any of you have heard about it through the grapevine. I guess you have if you've been on the Facebook group, but we haven't been sending you emails because we didn't want to bombard you. But we've been promoting digestive stuff in relation to chronic health issues. And tomorrow night we're doing a webinar. We've got well over 2,000 people signed up for it, so that's exciting. And we're hoping to really impact a lot of practitioners to start thinking this way. You guys have access to it. Depending on when you joined, you may have that module may not be open, but it will be, because as soon as we start this live version, we once a year we do the digestion and open it up to the public. And we're going to do some live calls directly just related to digestion. So once we get there, I think it'll open probably end of next week, beginning, at least by the beginning of October. You'll have access to that module even if you just joined, because you'll get to go through that with us if you want to. You know, each of these modules, it's interesting. I talk about content, right? We started out like, oh, yeah, we'll finish all this stuff, and it'll be 6 months. And I started off with this whole two-year curriculum and tried to cram it into a nine-month course, and I realized that it wasn't happening. And then I started expanding it and found more and more and added extra modules and things like that. So, you know, we've said it's a two-year program or it's a one-year program, depending on whether you chose Foundations or Foundations Plus Mastery, but the truth of the matter is, it's as long as it need, you need. You get, you're on paper, in theory, when you signed up, you get a year of these calls with Foundations and you get 2 years with Mastery. But the truth of the matter is, we've slowed down the pace and all just because it was so intense for people and because it's so intense for me to add all these extra modules to it. If it takes you longer, it takes you longer. And seriously, the digestion piece alone could be something that takes 3, 4, 5 months. The micronutrients can take 2 or 3 months. The lab testing can take that. So take it if you need it. Take as long as you need, because it's very different. One person might be working a full-time job and doing this on in their spare time. Another person might have, you know, a full load of practice, a full load in clinical practices and moving it to a more holistic state. You don't have as much time. And others of you might be just like, you know, this is, you're just doing this and you've got 40 hours a week to devote to studying. And so, there's only one person that came, fit that bill and came to me and said, well, I'm finished with everything that's out so far. When's the next stuff coming out? So rest assured the new stuff will be coming out, and almost every Thursday, you're not committing to every Thursday, but from now till the end of the year, we're going to have fun, and I'm going to do this live because it's such fun modules. We're going to do our food religions module. And I don't know what the official name of food religions module is. Food dogma, diet dogma, who knows? I just call it food religions because I'm really passionate about stamping out dogma and really teaching you all the ins and outs of each and every one of these different kinds of food plans, whether they're food plans based on macronutrient content, food plans based on avoidance of specific chemicals because of intolerances, ethnic kind of thing. So we're going to be going through, I think there's at least a dozen different food religions that we've identified that we'll be going through in step-by-step fashion. So I'll be doing those live. I'm not sure how long they're all going to take, and it'll be kind of fun to do. So by the end of the year, we will have finished that section. And if there's anything that you know a lot about and you want to chat with us about contributing to that module about that. I know Steph stepped up and said, can I teach the oxalates and FODMAP stuff? And I'm like, sure, no problem, because she's been studying that for a while. And Lynn is going to do macrobiotics because she's been trained in macrobiotics. And Jan has taken a stab at some of these others that she's been studying. And so, you know, we've got this contributing body, so it's not just me doing everything. But mostly that with Jan and Lynn, they'll kind of help me behind the scenes and gather lots of information and make slides, starts for me on some of the things they're doing, and then I'll help, I know I'll finish them up and fine-tune them. Steph is actually going to lead and teach those because she's really loves to do that, and she's instructional design master's degree. So if anybody ever has questions about stuff like that, she's the one to go to. So questions, comments, anything at all? Let me look to see if anybody's put anything on the chat. Otherwise, I'm totally fine if you just want to do this, make it an early day. And it feels to me like what we had set up was these calls once a month, and maybe once a month is too often for these calls because we don't usually get a whole lot of questions about the content. But really, I want you to make sure that you're really getting it as you go along. Melody mentioned something earlier, and I just want to step in. You mentioned about the test, like, oh, my God, the test for micronutrients. Test for micronutrients is going to be put up very shortly. It's not up yet because there's three modules that we finished, but that my team had, you know, there were some technical issues and had to do some editing on the back end. So when those three are up, the test is already finished. The test will be opened. We just didn't want you to have the test opened before those three modules were up and then have questions about those modules and be stuck in the middle of a test and go, I don't know. So that's going to be happening really soon. And you will take that test. Now, that's a longer test than most of the other tests. There's actually, I think, 75 of them. I think there's 75 of them questions on that test. But here's the thing about the test. The tests are intended as learning opportunities. You have three chances to take the test. So if you take it the first time and you fail, congratulations. It just gives you an opportunity to know what you need to study more about. It's fine. I know a lot of you who are straight A students are like, how can I fail this test? It's an open book test. And you can go back through, and we encourage you to go back through and look things up. Because guess what? Working with clients and patients is an open book test. You don't have to sit in front of them and know everything. After you've collected a case and you're scratching your head, you have your dozens and dozens of books you can look up and websites you can look it up. And there's other information that you may not have learned about yet that you need to know. So we want to teach you the methods of, okay, I've got this question. Let's go and find the answer. So if you don't pass it the first time with an 80%, you get to take it again. If you still don't pass it the second time, you get to take it a third time. And hopefully each of those times in between, you're getting a sense of what questions you missed. And you'll write those down, which questions you missed. You'll research them. And then the next time, you'll get them right. And if you don't, after three tries, it's not like we're kicking you out of the program. It's not like you've just lost your opportunity to ever get your certification. All that means is that we're going to have a conversation with you, starting probably with Lynn reaching out and saying, hey, let's talk. What's going on? Where's the disconnect? What are you having trouble with? And we're just going to see how we can help you. That's all. It's not a matter of, you know, it's not like you're going to get an F in college and have to go back and redo the course. Yeah, you may have to go back and redo the course, but you don't have to pay extra money. And you don't have to go sit in the class again. You just have access to the materials. And that's what I love about this and wish I had it when I was going through school, was that you can just keep going back through stuff over and over again, and you don't have to worry that you missed, like, when the professor was talking a mile a minute. So Lynn has her hand up, and I'm going to open it, and then I'm also going to look at the chat because I saw a couple of things come in on the chat while we were speaking, I think. Oh, phosphate was just added. Great. Vitamin E transcript is not available. Okay. Well, let's let Stacy know that vitamin E transcript is not available. And I don't know why, because that was done a long, long time ago. It's probably just an oversight. Vitamin E transcript. Thank you, Melody. Okay, so Lynn, I've got your line open.
Hi, I just wanted to make another point too about the exams for micronutrients. It's mm-hmm. There's four parts to it. Mm. So that was the other piece, and you'll see the four different buttons. There's a macronutrients. I was just trying to look it up here again. Here it is.
Well, macro would be separate, but yeah.
There's micronutrients, B vitamins. There's intro and vitamins A, C, D, E, and K. There's intro to minerals and macro minerals, and then micro minerals. So It's not one big long test. There's four different tests.
Oh, good. Okay. So then each of those tests, they can take separately. They don't have to take together. So I would assume that all of those tests are up and available, except the ones that for the modules, like the mineral ones, I'm thinking. Is that right?
They're available. Okay. I don't know if the button has been put on, but if you log into if you go to the resources and log into the post-test and exam area, you might be able to see it. I know I've been adding people to it.
Okay,
so,
good.
But the button itself, in the micronutrients module, I don't believe. I was just going to go look here and see.
Yeah, well, make sure. Let Stacy bring that up, because here's the thing. If you do take in the middle.
Oh, it is there. The post-test button is there. Yep.
Perfect. Yeah, And then just do it. Just do it. At least do it for the separate piece, the other pieces, Melody, and you can get those done and do them one piece at a time and you can go back. So that's good to know. Yeah, thank you for that. Yep, that's ideal. That's great. Yeah, anything else you want to add about that, about test-taking strategies or what you've been finding when you talk to people?
Well, yeah, just like I just want to reiterate what you say, that this is not an attempt to weed people out. It's just an attempt to make sure you know the materials. And if you do come across questions that you felt really strongly that they were right, I definitely invite the conversation and we'll go over the materials.
Yeah, that's great. That's super. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Great. Perfect. Yeah, this, you know, when we started out doing this, it was, I had no idea it was going to turn into as big a thing as it turned out to be. And there's just so much to teach and to learn. And I'm excited about just like basically doing a brain dump. And the best way I could do a brain dump is to just create all these presentations and things so that, you know, the work gets passed on and out. And we just help lots and lots of people, which I think is great. Thank you.
I just want to say too, I think that is this, just even this module is one thing that separates us from many other programs, because we deliver it all. And it's not, it just really shows, like Melody was saying, all the different connections that each of the micronutrients has.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, thank you. And I really enjoyed putting it all together, because when I first envisioned the micronutrients module, it's like, okay, you know, we're just going to have a few slides on each nutrient and teach it. And I'm like, they could find that anywhere, right? You can find that in an over-the-counter, like, layperson's book about micronutrients. So I want to teach you more than that, that's clinically relevant, and the interactions and all. So that's why it ended up being, what, 25 hours or something, maybe more?
It's almost 30, yep.
Almost 30. All right. Well, it doesn't look like we have any other questions. There's no others typed in. So I'm just going to say let's just call it a day. And let's see. There's a few comments in here. Let's see. And I appreciate we got, you know, a bunch of new folks, and you guys have all been so interactive, and we really love that, because we become a family here and we get to know each other. And I know we're going to meet a lot of you at Shine, which is going to be totally awesome. I will say something about Shine. If you got a second ticket for free, a bonus ticket, and if you have any friends or colleagues that you really think could benefit, bring them along. We still have seats. We're up to about, I think we have about 80 people registered so far, and I think, you know, when you add us on, we're over 100. So the room holds 150. So we have about 50 more seats, but we're going to get a whole bunch more people registered, I believe, after this CMDS launch, because they're going to get a free ticket too. Okay, so thank you so much, everybody. I'm going to open up your lines and say goodbye. Just in time to get the concert. My son just got home from school and is playing for us. Let's see, open lines. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for
having
you.